going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive. Up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
That's right. This is the Going Deep podcast. Thank you so much, Capital, for the intro. And today we go deep on all things baseball. A couple Blue Jays pitchers and a couple of Jose's that Blue Jays love as well. Jose Berríos and Jose Bautista are the Jose's. Yusei Kikuchi and obviously Jose Berríos are the pitchers. And why don't we start with Yusei, who is always in the news and always so lovable, even when in foul territory. He's accidentally running into opposing players and feeling super bad about it. Fans love him and clearly have embraced him. And his family has embraced being here in Canada, I recently learned. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Yusei himself. His young son had the pleasure of throwing out the first pitch, which was super cute, on the same day that Yusei was being honored with his own bobblehead. Well, it was a family affair for me, but I sat down with Yusei Kikuchi and his wife, Rumi Kikuchi, which was, I don't want to say intimidating, but I had to be on my game because Rumi Kikuchi herself is also a journalist. She's a broadcaster for NHK in Japan, which is essentially ESPN and ABC put together in Japan. So I found it somewhat interesting to learn how they relate to each other, given they're both in high-pressure situations. But they had the pressure of moving family to a different country, a different culture for Yusei to play for the Blue Jays, and why that was a decision they decided they wanted to do. And then the tables turned a little bit, as you'll hear, where I figured maybe I need a DH or a pinch hitter, and I let Rumi take over to bring out the wonderfully playful side of Yusei Kikuchi. All Blue Jays edition of the Going Deep podcast. Let's start with the Kikuchi family.
As a free agent making a decision where to play, it's not just a personal one, it's a family decision. Why were you interested in playing in Toronto, in Canada?
Yeah, when I was playing at the Rogers Center, first year in MLB, so I felt I love this ballpark, and the city was amazing and, you know, beautiful. So I got offer from the Blue Jays. I got goosebumps because I can play with Brady and Bo and George, and also I can play for the entire country. So yeah, easy to make a decision for me.
Easy, but it is a new country.
Yeah.
What was it like for your family to assimilate to coming here and playing in Canada?
Yeah, it's tough, but there are Japanese culture and Japanese people, also a lot of Japanese restaurants. And, you know, Canadian is always very kind and nice. And yeah, so it's tough, but we are, you know, very comfortable living here.
You're playing for an entire country, but Japanese Canadians specifically have taken a lot of pride in having you here. What's that like for you?
Yeah, it's very happy to see that, and I'm very grateful. But yeah, I want to you know, continue pitching well every 5 days, and to in front of them to inspire them.
Have you noticed that every 5 days there's an increase in Asian fans when you're on the mound?
Yeah, so...
She's nodding her head yes.
Yes, I felt that the number has been increasing a little bit. So yeah, I'm very happy. And yeah, as I said, I want to continue, you know, pitching well for them, and I want more Asians to know about Blue Jays and how much fun baseball is.
How did your family support you when you weren't pitching as well as you are now?
That was a hard time for my family, but my wife always encouraging me, and my son was, you know, always smiling and, you know, happy, adorable. So yeah, they helped me a lot and they kept me going.
Yeah, he definitely is adorable. Yeah, he looks like mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. What's it like for you to be of interest, not just of local or national media here, but Japanese media as well, even though you're playing here?
Yeah, actually, yeah, to be honest, I never look at my article at all. Yeah, but yeah, I'm very happy as a, you know, baseball player, because people can see my journey. So yeah, I want to thank you to local and Japanese media too.
Most people, their family can't relate at all to being a pro athlete. What's it like for you to have someone who's a visible public figure in a high pressure performance role? How does that allow you to relate to her?
Yeah, so, you know, there are a lot of, you know, always ups and downs, you know, in baseball, also as a, you know, a newscaster too. So, you know, we always discuss about how to overcome this tough moment. And yeah, we helped each other.
Well, you both have helped getting more Asians interested in baseball, getting more Canadians to know and be interested about Japan. So on behalf of all of us here in Canada, arigato.
Arigato, thank you. My pleasure, thank you.
Thank you. You say. So you, quite frankly, do this job at a higher level than I do. So why don't we switch roles? You take over this seat. You know me better than anyone. Oh, you should do the interview, not me. No, no, no. All yours.
Okay, I'm going to try.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Where is your favorite place in Toronto?
I have a bunch of places, but my favorite is obviously, you know, ballpark, but besides ballpark, maybe Niagara Falls.
Sounds great.
Or there are a lot of good winery. Mm. So yeah, winery or yeah.
What is your favorite dish I cook for you?
Miso soup.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm picky about miso soup, you know, but
yes.
Yeah, your miso soup is the best.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how to cook. You know, I know, you know, the people imagine the miso soup is, you know, only make of miso, right? But I think you have original, like a spice or brand, like a miso and, you know, kombu or that type of, you know,
yes,
special things. I don't know. I don't know how, but yeah.
Thank you.
I like miso soup.
Good answer. Okay. What do you like to do with our son?
To play baseball and soccer, go to park, go to zoo. I like everything, yeah, to play with him. But yeah, I love him, yeah.
How would you compare yourself to a Pokemon character?
Snorlax.
Why?
Always sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Please draw it. Looks good. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Can I see the answer?
Looks like a snow.
Snorlax.
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 Snorlax. Always sleep. Eat and sleep. That's me. 14 hours.
Yes. What is your favorite clubhouse song?
I like EDM, like Avicii. That's my workout song.
Okay, I'm going to play the song now.
Okay.
So, can you dance to the music for me?
I can dance.
I heard you are a very good dancer.
Come on, AK.
No?
I'm going to play a song.
I can dance, but the other players let me dance. Come on.
Oh,
cut,
my goodness.
Cut.
Wow. Love that. Thank you so much.
After winning, always, like always that? Do it. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Okay. So, if you sell hot dogs and churros at the Roger Center, how would you say it?
Hot dog, hot dog. Churros, churros.
Oh.
Hot dog.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're almost going to be 33 years old.
Yeah.
Do you have any goals?
Any goals? To be honest, I just want to be the world champion. That's why I chose Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah, this is my, you know, last year. I don't want to say last year, but, you know, last contract year. So my number one goal to be championship, world champion for Canada.
I'm happy to hear that. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
That's all.
Thanks so much to Yusei and Rumi for that. Super funny and super heartwarming. Hopefully, he can see his dream realized and see the Blue Jays win a World Series here, which is why he came here, as you heard. Hopefully, we can see him pitching here every fifth day for a long time. He's been one of the best pitchers on the club. But if they aren't in contention, his ability to take the ball every fifth day and throw strikes would make him of interest to opposing teams. Maybe we'll have to catch up with Ben Nicholson-Smith or Dan Schulman in the future to break all that down. Another person who has been really, really consistent as a Blue Jay and a starting pitcher is Jose Berríos. And Jose, like you say, is strengthening his roots and bond with this country and this community. But in a different way, alongside of Jay's care, he is starting the L Dream Initiative, which is both in Toronto, Canada, and back home in Puerto Rico, where he is making sure that youth have access to sports and education, all the things that he wanted to make sure he had access to as a youth. And growing up, not unique to him, given where he came from, his idol was Roberto Clemente, someone who, although was a great player, is known for his philanthropy, and Jose's following in those same footsteps. I got to spend some time embedded with Jose and the Jays Care staff at a charity event that he threw here in Toronto at the TD Tower, engaging the community to help him on his quest to help the youth here in Canada and Puerto Rico. But I spent some time with him one-on-one afterwards to find out why now and what the future looks like for him as a player and as a leader in community, not just the clubhouse. Let's go deep with Jose Berríos on all things L Dream.
So Jose, you're the power, the brains, but also the face of L Dream with Jay's Care. What is it mean for you that you've got to a level that you can share some of the wealth with other people?
Yeah, you know, thanks God I'd be able to be where we are right now. We had a dream, and then we call it a dream. It's being able to help people, bless the young generation and their family. And being in the position where we are right now, I think we are able to help and bless those people, and that way we can impact their life in some way.
You're so interesting because you have two homes. You're proudly Puerto Rican, but you've entrenched yourself in the community here in Canada. Talk to me about balancing supporting back home, but also doing the philanthropic work here.
Yeah, I mean, back home is easier because that's where I growing up and spend my off season, and people knowing more who is Jose the human. But here in Canada, they know they've been seeing the player Jose Berrío, but they don't know the human of Jose Berrío. So I want to be involved with the community and also impact their life beside baseball stuff. So having that opportunity, I think, also helped me to grow in like a human being, but also being involved with them in the community. I can be more close and give the experience to meet not just Jose Berrío is the pitcher, also he's a human. And knowing myself, I think I can show them and teach them to be a better person in some way.
Compare and contrast the cultures between Puerto Rico and Canada.
They are different, obviously. We are different. We don't have snow. We don't have cold weather. But the way they live life, like, they are great, great human beings. Like, they're a great person. The people here are so nice. Also, they like to have fun. And that's how I growing up, having fun with my family, with my friends. The culture in Puerto Rico is really, really, we have a lot of energy. They like to have fun. So seeing how people like to have fun on the field and also around the field in the city, it remind me of my back home in Puerto Rico. So, but yeah, it's a different culture here. People are so taller, bigger. Puerto Rico, we are small and short. So yeah, but we feel comfortable because the way they treat myself, but also my family.
Other than the difference in size of the kids that you're helping, what are the similarities and differences of the youth in each country and the way you want to help them?
I think here Canada is big, but what I've been seeing so far, yeah, they had some similarities back in Puerto Rico. Some young kid need a lot of help about house, support, their parents, food, all that stuff. But also some kid having a blessed to had a great family, great houses, the food, everything there, but they want to be a great, obviously I play baseball, so they see us like, they are our idol, so they want to be a athlete, great professional players. So knowing that, I know they want to reach out to us and trying to know us and trying to be where we are right now. So having the opportunity and knowing that we can teach them, like, you can be a great baseball player or any other sport, but you can do good and better. So I think that's the difference I've been seeing. Like, here, some have the opportunity, those others doesn't, but back in Puerto Rico, sometimes they don't have either, like, their support at home, either in life about sport. So sometimes we need to work on both sides, but that's what we hear. We are able to be blessed and grateful, so we want to bring back those great things to them.
What has been the highlight for you personally of being involved in doing the work with kids?
Honestly, for me, it's an inspiration. Taking myself, my level, like, really, really up, because I've been seeing how big was the impact in their life, and knowing, like, we've been doing good stuff and the right way for them. So, I mean, like I said in the beginning, like, I live with a purpose. God put me myself in where I am right now, but for a reason, for a purpose. So now I have to live in that purpose and give back to God what he gave to me. So I've been blessed. I want to bless, you know, those guys and family.
I understand what you want those kids to get from this program. What do you want your kids to learn from the work that you're doing?
Yeah, so it's a good point, good question. Who I am right now, it was what I see at home from my dad and mother. So yeah, doing what I've been doing, for sure that my kid been seeing it. So I don't been teaching them and trying to grow them by thought, but also I've been teaching them by example, like doing like what is a good thing for the world, not just for the kids, it's, you know, for the world. And how did that, I don't say it in English, but the opportunity, like it's a big compromise, but that way I had to be more focused and keep doing and accomplishing what's my plan here and there.
Puerto Rico has a long history of not only great baseball, but people using that platform to help others. Were you inspired by anyone as a kid to do this work?
Yeah, for sure. When I was young, I always been hearing about Roberto Clemente, that's our Astro. That I think that's the role model for every baseball player back in Puerto Rico. But I know him because I read, I see it, and I hear about my dad and family. But what my eyes see was Yael Molina, Carlos Beltran. They still be involved in that, but in those times, they was involved help people in Puerto Rico. They always been doing good in the field, but also out of the field. So I think that they was our role model for my generation.
There's an award named after Roberto Clemente that honors baseball players who serve the community every year. You've put yourself in that conversation given the work that you've done. If you were to win that award, what would it mean to you?
Ooh, sorry, it's going to be a great accomplishment in my career. I didn't know if you asked me that question about that award 5 years ago, I don't know if I'd be able to respond to you like, oh yeah, we're gonna make it, because I didn't know about it. But now knowing like how important is that award in this game, other than be a Cy Young, an MVP, so it's important for me, but also for my family, for my kid. And like I say, I want to lead them by example, and that's what we're doing, like trying to do a lot of good things for people around the world.
You put yourself in the conversation of multiple awards because of the way that you've pitched. Consistently, you've seemed to been able to find success. What do you attribute the fact that every 5 days you're given a quality start to?
It's been a lot of hard work, starting for good rest, good work ethic, but also what I eat. My rotation is being a huge, big part of my success in this level. You know, having that all 3 points together, it's been helped me to be out there every 5 days, like I've been doing it so far. But like I say, I don't been doing that by myself. I have my team, I have my family support, so they always been around me, push me to be a better person and athlete.
The nickname, La Máquina, the machine. Break that down for me. How maniacal and intentional are you about your work and your progress getting ready for every start?
Yeah, I mean, this is my work. That's what the way I see it. I don't know what else to do. I just pitch and play baseball, so I need to put my 100% every time. I've been working in about baseball, so yeah, I'm really love and passion about workout. I take care so serious about my nutrition, my rest. So because everybody like love eat, but like to be a great athlete and put you high performance in another level, we need to sacrifice some food. What I love, like for example, I love pizza, burgers, so that's my favorite. But knowing like that, eating that every day don't gonna help my outcome out in the field. So knowing that we had to sacrifice, but in the beginning it was a sacrifice, but now it's a like living style. So I feel comfortable and knowing like what is the best for myself to be ready every 5 days in demo.
Well, it worked out for you in the fact that last year you finally got that elusive Gold Glove award, which you were close to before, which is kind of like cheating because you're a shortstop coming up. So it's not even really fair, but knowing the pride you've put into being a complete baseball player, talk to me about what it was like to actually win that award.
It's being a great honor for me. I feel so happy. You know, finally I get that bless, like that award. But beside the baseball field, obviously I pitch. I am a pitcher. I pitch every 5 days. But between those every 5 days, I prepare and work myself like an athlete. I don't think I'm a pitcher. Obviously, I can hit. That's why I'm a pitcher. But other than that, I work out and I move and I run like it was an athlete. So that's why keep me available to be a good defender, a good defender. So yeah, last year finally we get that award, and like I say, it was an honor and bless, not just for me, also for my family, my two kids enjoying it, my daughter enjoying it too, but more my two kids because they play baseball.
How did you find out that you won?
Oh, that was at home. I was on my kid baseball practice. So when I get back at home from that practice, my agent was at home and he was surprising me because that's not normal in off season. And he said, "Take a seat." I say, "What happened?" He say, "Congratulations, you won the Gold Glove Award." I say, "Oh wow." I mean, then that moment was like, "Oh, thank you." But then when the next day or 3 days after, I start thinking about, "Oh, this is a great award for me." I feel like I say really proud because finally I get paid it for like great and hard work I've been putting all together, you know, every day.
Your hard work now is not just benefiting you, it's benefiting others. Generally, you like to be economical with your pitches, pitch to contact, keep that pitch count low so you can go deep into games. But you've decided you're going to give 500 USD for every strikeout to these kids in this foundation. How are you going to balance the motivation?
Yeah, I need it. I love strikeout the hitters. I know it's been hard so lately, but we need to keep competing, and I still love it to do it. So yeah, I want to keep pitching longer in the game, but also I want to have more strikeout per game.
You're putting your money where your mouth is for this foundation, but for Canadians who are a fan of you, the team who are watching, what would you say to them as to why it's important for them to support what you're doing with Jace Care as well?
You know, I think the principle here is the life, the young kid, the families. So doing that, like, you know, donating the money and the time or the opportunity is enough. Obviously for me, for my foundation, but also it's weird that in that way we can be able to impact and bless more those kids, those family, and that way we are doing our part and be the difference in this world. Like, we want to have a better world, so in that way we can work on that, and that way you are being doing your part. And you know, like I say, we live with a purpose, and doing that, I think we are doing God purpose here and there.
And lastly, this is an off day for you. Normally, you're doing cold tub right now, you're watching some film. To be at an event like this, having fans want to see you, touch you, interact with you, and support your charity, what's it mean to you that you're at this level?
I mean, it's mean a lot. Like you say, if I see that, like, oh, these are off day, I don't want to be here. I mean, I can be at home chilling. But seeing that way, like, had opportunity to meet new people, share you know, my words, and they can talk to me, and I can learn from them, and also they learn from me. So it's a good opportunity. It's a blessing to be here with the reason for the charity, but also knowing people and be open for them. I know maybe today I can be able to help them. We are one word, we are one action. So every time we learn, we can get better. So that's the way I see it, and that's what I enjoy, and I appreciate for this opportunity.
Well, what I've learned is when someone signs at the press conference, everyone says, I want to help the community, I want to be here. But few people actually do it. You're backing up those words with actions. So thank you.
Thanks.
Retroactively and proactively. And good luck, because the success on the field helps all of us with what you're doing. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's a good point. Like, what I do in the field is going to help me what I want to do out of the field. So I need to continue to do what I've been doing. And that's why God keep blessing myself.
Well, I think God blessed us with you as well, because you're inspiring Canadians to do the same. So
thank you.
Man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much to Jose Barrios for his time and candor. And his time is a valuable currency, because as you heard, he's involved in the El Dream Foundation and the La Macanina Foundation back in Puerto Rico. But in terms of his relationship with Jays Care, it doesn't stop there. He's the official ambassador of the Girls at Bat, Challenger Baseball, Reviving Baseball in Inner Cities, RBI for short, program. So with El Dream and Jays Care, he's helping a lot of youth across Canada and also back home in Puerto Rico. If you want to support, just a couple ways at the ballpark, to those Jays Care 50-50s. These are the types of programs that money and those funds go towards. If you want to follow, at Jays Care is the handle, and click through if you have the means to give. Feel free. Now we're going to take a break and talk to someone who's given a lot to the city and is still coming back. And that would be Jose Batista.
My name is Lucille Bryan.
I'm Clifton Bryan.
My grandson has a show.
And I'm so happy that you are listening to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
I'm so glad that he had a show. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Grandma and Granddad. And my grandfather is loving that the Jays are still in the wild card conversation, hanging around, making these games, these upcoming series against some real opponents, real interesting. The vibes are starting to come back. It was pretty down at one point. And one of the reasons why I think it helped turn the page, change the chapter, if you will, was the City Connect jerseys came out and Jose Batista was back in town. He's back in town because he is, again, one of the faces of the Blue Jays, even post-career. He's teamed up with Mary Brown's Chicken to unveil the Batter's Box, which is a value meal, bringing our favorite slugger back to prime time. And for those curious of what the lineup is when it comes to chicken, The batter's box includes 6 pieces of crispy senior chicken, medium taters, 2 oven fresh biscuits, medium gravy. It sounds like Sid Sixero's dream. For many, it was a dream to meet up close and personal with Jose. He was at the City Connect party at Lavelle, which was outstanding. The next day, he and Edwin Encarnacion signed jerseys for everyone who went to buy a City Connect jersey in person at the ballpark. And I wanted to catch up with Jose to get his appraisal of, well, one, the jerseys, but two, the current team, the current way the game is played, and everything that he's got going on, whether it's in sports or elsewhere. So let's go deep with Mr. Bat Flip himself, one of the greatest Jays of all time, Jose Batista. I'm going deep. Well, Jose, you've been a busy man. We've seen a lot of you, and now we get to see you with a partnership that is tied once again to Canada and the Jays. For you, being still in demand and someone of interest by the fans in Canada, what's that like for you?
It's definitely humbling. It's a good feeling for sure, knowing that, you know, Canadians fans still hold me dear to their heart. And it's definitely a feeling that's reciprocated. So I love coming to town, helping out in any way that I can, getting involved with different efforts, obviously the Jays, and ideally, you know, maybe look for different partners to cause some bigger positive community impact moving forward. I'm really excited to be back in town in another 2 weeks to help Joe Carter with his foundation event. I'm also participating in another dinner event for a different charity. it's good. It's a good feeling. I'm not going to lie to you. It's good to know that fans care, that I'm still loved there. So I just try to stay grounded at all times and maintain my humility over everything.
You're someone who certainly when you're playing was very intentional as to what you did, who you partnered with, and what you put in your body. So talk to me about this opportunity with Mary Browns and why it made sense for you.
Well, it's great to even be considered, right? Again, another humbling moment when they reach out through the team. As you know, they have a great long-term partnership with the club. And to look for different ways to engage with the fans and just kind of activate. They've used different players in the past, and this year they considered me. And I'm very happy and glad that we reached the deal. And you know, we both went through this due diligence period where we were trying to evaluate each other, see if it was the right fit, because people don't know you until they, you know, start talking to you. They peel off the layers, and you know, the what people can sense and feel from, you know, the media and the public eye is one thing, but they don't really get to know you until they sit down with you in person and just have one-on-one conversations. And I think the company and myself, we've enjoyed getting to know each other better. And figuring out a way to make this work. And after, you know, I know how I feel on my end. You can ask them how they feel on their end. But after a few rounds of conversations, knowing how their company was founded, how everything got started, what values they have, the things that they try to instill into their products and their processes and their employees and all their stakeholders, how much they care, and what, you know, how much they care about the taste and the process that they put their chicken through really made me feel comfortable about going out there and figuring out a way to work together with these guys. So, you know, being a part of the promotions and the commercials and all that stuff is fun. And we enjoyed that, filming them. It was a blast going there and taking part in that. But, you know, I'd like to be able to say, you know, in perpetuity, that I only align myself with companies that at the time of the partnership, I truly believe in their mission and how they're trying to get it done and accomplish their goals. And I'm very happy and proud to be now aligned with Mary Browns, because I'm a big believer in their brand and how they try to go about their business.
How would you rate your acting skills?
Oof. I like making fun of myself while acting. I don't think I'm great. I try very, very hard. So, but everybody says that the results look good. So I'd like to see the public's opinion on that and see what they think once the commercials get rolled out. But I had a lot of fun doing them, I'll tell you that much. So I'm going to enjoy getting the reactions from the fans on the commercials. That's going to be a treat for me.
Well, it's interesting you said about Mary Browns, their process, because when I think of you and your career, the word that comes to mind is process. You're sticking your routine, whether it's in the spring or dog days of summer, being a true pro. And we saw you out for BP, shagging some balls as well. You look like you could still play. Have you maintained that process post-career, or are you allowing yourself some cheat days?
I allow myself a lot more cheat days nowadays, especially being a dad, you know. But I balance that out by going to the gym and working out harder. That way I don't get the proverbial dad bod. But, it's a thing for sure. Being a father of four children and my wife and going out to dinner and ordering food, there's always stuff to clean up. And while I enjoy doing that, I balance it out by going to the gym so I don't pack on the pounds. So it's been fun trying to stay active as a retired player. So I've taken up just a bunch of other activities that I normally wasn't even able to do while I was still under contract. Like I'm riding a road bike, a mountain bike, I'm playing soccer, I go to the gym, I try to get my sleep, stay away from alcohol as much as possible. Old habits are hard to break. And I want to make sure that I'm creating as many good habits as I can so I can enjoy my health and longevity, hopefully, you know, as I'm getting older. So I try to live life with that perspective and that outlook. So hopefully my discipline sticks, you know, well into my 40s and 50s.
You talked about soccer, and you're not just
playing soccer. You're owning a soccer franchise in Las Vegas. You gave us your rationale in terms of partnerships that makes sense. You know, being on the other side, not an athlete, but being on the management side, why did this make sense for you specifically with the opportunity in Vegas?
Liz, in my opinion, this is a great investment given the things that are happening within soccer in North America in the next 10 years with the World Cups and a lot of these tournaments that are happening. It's going to be heightened awareness in North America. And the early adoption of soccer, so it has like major adoption, again, in the same territories, has happened already. You know, it's in the past. It started in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s was the like really growing pain. So now we're like in an early stage of accelerated growth, I believe, as an industry. And, you know, I've always wanted to be a professional sports team owner. After evaluating where the other leagues were and as much involvement that I wanted to have, I quickly learned that the amount of money that I was able to invest and I had dedicated for this pot wasn't going to be enough to be in the major four. Those valuations, of course, are very high and rightfully so because they have great business models that generate a ton of revenue for the local markets. So, but I wanted to be somewhere where I had a little bit more of a skin in the game when you consider the totality of the investment. So I was lucky enough to find the USL as a league, which is, you know, consider second division next to MLS, but it's a great professional league with a huge footprint. And I think they're definitely making a ton of strides and they're ready and poised for a ton of growth in the next 10 and 15 years as well, which aligns with all the things that I've talked about in soccer in North America. And then on top of that, I get blessed with this great market in Las Vegas, which you, of all people, are probably very aware of all the sports, professional sports things that are happening in Las Vegas in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years as well. So now that the whole taboo with the betting is kind of like in the rearview mirror and, you know, the Golden Knights come into town, the Raiders come into town, you know, Oakland A's in a few years, probably NBA after that, quickly following suit, you know, we've been there since the same year and a few months before the Golden Knights. So we have a great market, a great opportunity. You know, the relationship with the community and our fans does need to be repaired because the previous ownership somewhat neglected that. But we're working hard and diligently to do that. So I'm looking forward to that challenge and hopefully having success in this new arena as a team owner.
Yeah, not in the top four yet. There's still time. Life is long. We take our past experiences into everything we do. I wonder what your experience as a player does for you in your everyday interactions and your sensibilities as a sports owner?
I think primarily is understanding and recognizing and showing the value of what our players as talent bring to the table. I mean, we want to be known for being a player first organization because they're the secret sauce, right? They're the ones that make it tick. Everything derives from that. And hopefully that leads to win, which creates a winning culture and we can go for championships and then create a great brand around that reflects, you know, our local community values and what we try to accomplish as an organization and try to influence the community in a positive way by providing great entertainment and great options for these kids of, you know, examples of superstars and team players to, you know, get inspired by and follow suit and hopefully practice the sport themselves and have goals and dreams to shoot for. So in a way, you know, you just want to create that environment where players feel taken care of and want to get involved and be a part of your organization. I think once you do that, you're kind of doing it right. And we're at the early stage of creating that environment in our club. So I'm excited about that.
You were back in this environment at Lavelle for the City Connect launch party. The moment of the night was you, Edwin, and Vladdy, which was all over everyone's social media. When you've been around and seen the different changes, parties like that, the infrastructure around the team, are there aspects of you who think, you know, man, I wish some of this was in place for me to take advantage of as a player?
Yeah, but I try not to dwell on it too much. And I can't say that I didn't have a great experience in Toronto myself. You know, I enjoyed every single moment. We had a great run. I was there for 10 years and it was lovely. So these guys are blessed. They have the organization is just at a different level now. They can do certain things differently. And I'm sure that the players realize that and understand the value of that. So, you know, I think that that gives them a lot to think about when considering the futures and where should they want to play within Major League Baseball, because Toronto's got a lot to offer. And I don't think a lot of people realize that from the outside looking in. And until you play here, you don't really get to see that firsthand. So these guys are going to be our best ambassador and advocates going around the league, using the word of mouth to spread that around, to make sure that every single free agent wants to come play for our team and our organization, because it's one of the best around, if not the best in North America. And I can honestly say that, having played for seven or eight teams myself and throughout my career, it's just a great place to play. It's a wonderful city with a lot of diversity, where everybody's, you know, accepted, young, professional city, clean, great living situation. So, and then you add on all these resources as a player and all these things that the team has going on, all the renovations at the stadium. I was just in the clubhouse and in the stadium seeing all the new stuff, and I was blown away because it's state of the art, like top of the line. Nothing to envy from any other project in North America. That, as far as players and having resources to be the best player you can be, this is going to be one of the top destinations in all of professional sports. So I think that the players here have a lot to look forward to.
You've been in it. You've been on teams that exceeded expectations. You've been on teams that didn't meet the expectations that they had set. We'll see what happens with this group. But as you know, baseball is a game of failure. Given your perspective, you could give, you know, a word of advice to this group now in the middle of this season. What would it be?
Stick to it. Keep plugging away. Keep getting to know each other. Let everybody be themselves. Help each other out. Figure out ways how to complement each other. Keep creating situations on the offense. Don't try to be the hero yourself. Keep doing your thing. You know, you'll come together as a club. I have no doubt in that. They have the talent. They got to go out there with their confidence high every single day, believing that they're going to get that win, and it's going to come together for the club. They're very, very talented. They just got to believe it, trust it, go out there and take it one day at a time and one at bat at a time. And I know that a lot of those things are cliches, but if you truly keep it that simple when you have such a talented group, you're more likely going to be successful than not.
Well, the vibes have been certainly good since the City Connect jerseys have come out and you and Edwin have been back in town and the results have followed. So we might have to, you know, make you a staple here in Toronto. Good to hear that you're going to be coming back soon. We'll be able to see you constantly given this partnership of Mary Brown's. But whether because you still have a nice sweet swing or the fact that you made everybody smile, we're going to have to keep you around this club for a bit. Thanks so much, Jose.
It would be my pleasure. Thanks for having me, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks to Jose. And as we go, we'll be joined by a good buddy of Jose and mine, Cabrel Richards, as we give you the final recap of Canada's Ultimate Challenge. If you haven't seen yet, pause here, go watch on CBC Gem, and come back. If you have seen and or heard and you want to compete, well, feel free. Applications for season 3 have already begun, but here's a breakdown of the finale of season 2. One massive Canada-wide obstacle course, 20 extraordinary Canadians, 16 mind-blowing challenges. It's season 2 of Canada's Ultimate Challenge. Every Sunday at 8 p.m., let's recap the latest episode. That's right. It is our breakdown of Canada's Ultimate Challenge here on the Going Deep podcast. And we have made it to the end, episode 7, the finale, the final challenge, if you will. I loved it, number one.
Of course. Yeah.
First of all, I loved all the interaction that we've had from you throughout the season, including the contestants, although many of you personally took shots at me, which is fun.
Because that's what I'm doing in this chair. But like I love
a few of them. Yeah, not many, but a couple.
But I want to know if, and we'll get to how it ended, if like Survivor, you'll be able to come back and try and be back in the game.
Oh, listen, this show had so many twists that it's totally possible. And casting is open now for season 3. DJ, tell them how you can be a part of the show.
All you got to do, cbc.ca/Canada's Ultimate Challenge. We'll have that in the bio of this very episode, so you can click and get directly there, but it's pretty straightforward. cbc.ca/Canada's Ultimate Challenge. I think once people see the final challenge, they might be like, I don't know if I can do it.
Right, the first challenge of this episode is the mountain bike alpine relay. So it starts with a mechanic. Someone has to assemble a bike, and then they hand off the bike to the person cycling 2 kilometers uphill on a muddy terrain. And then the third person they tag has to run 3K uphill. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like the inner monologue for these competitors has to be so foul.
Let's just say Adam, he let his inner monologue come out.
He couldn't help it. Bro, I felt bad for Angel. And Angel works in the trades. It was the logical move to have her build the bike. But I'm just like, what trades exactly?
I do not want to go into the elimination showdown. I didn't come here to lose. I came here to win.
We got to move fast, Angel. They got their bike almost put together.
Angel is still on her tire. She's starting to fall behind here.
Check!
You're not ready.
I'm literally not even gonna ride this bike. Angel, we gotta get that freaking tire on.
Come on. I don't know how to get it out.
Use your brain.
Adam, not helping.
No, I mean, but Adam couldn't help himself because his frustration was like, not just on his sleeve, it was on his face, it was coming out of his lungs. Like, he's like, use your brain.
Oh, that was the worst. I haven't written that down my notes. There were a couple ringers, if you will, coming into this. Right? Brandon on Team White said, listen, I'm a biker. Like, mountain biking, not necessarily my thing, but cycling, I got that. I was nervous for Whitney because as someone who I get stressed out building, like, tiles with my son, she's like, okay, I guess I got to build. She knocked it out of the park. And at this point, the challenge is over.
For Team Blue.
Correct. Adam and Harvin got a scheduled rest day. Like, they're load managing because Angel never got the bike off. But also, shout out to Whitney and Sandra, who realized, well, they're not a threat anymore. So let's just try and rehab Angel's poor ego.
Yeah.
And help her. Adam, no. I'm your teammate, but I'm not helping you whatsoever.
It's hard to watch. She's a warrior. She's never giving up. She never stopped working.
She is a warrior. Seeing Angel struggle is breaking my heart right now. I can't get it up. Just want to take a breath? Let's pick it up. Okay. Of course, I want Team Wildcard to take this win, but it's really sad and hard when you see someone that you love and respect struggle so much.
Let's go, Angel.
What we needed on that sprint when Lekka was like pacing, outpacing Chastely, but Chastely was closing the gap, was the music from the movie Halloween, because Chastely was closing and she is like unbelievable. Chastely's getting a nod for me in episode 7 because that girl digs deep and like overcoming all the odds. Like, she had to move teams. She's been part of like, you know, she was cut on the wild card team, but she's still like giving 1,000%. I know 1,000% isn't actually possible, but Chastely, you are just an impressive competitor.
I'm gonna give my MVP to Whitney. Cause again, she was the DH, if you will, at the thing that was not her comfort zone. And the fact that she did it so well gave them an opportunity even to be in the conversation. So shout out to Whitney. So Team Blue, DNF, but they still need to have a heart-to-heart.
Oh,
and
address the elephant in the car?
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Harvin, who probably a producer plant of like, hey, you're going to have to bring this up for us.
Guys, there's a huge elephant in the car that we need to address before we move forward. Angel, do you want to start off?
I'll start off, actually.
Or Adam, start off.
Of course you will.
Probably saying a lot of things that, you know, you might have took a little bit of offense to. Not mad at you. I was just mad at the situation.
Yo, man, you told me to use my brain.
No, I never.
Mm-hmm.
No, I never.
No, I never. As though he's 7 years old. You say that to your second grade teacher. Adam, did you throw the ball to the winner? No, I never.
Except, Adam, we have 14 cameras and 3 audio guys who captured you.
Well, salute to Adam for manning up and apologizing, admitting that he could have handled that differently. But that energy is like, I don't know if it could just dissipate or disintegrate in like 24 hours, because the next day they're preparing for the triple threat tree climb. Now, this one involves all 3 members working together using straps and blocks to climb a tree 100 feet up a Douglas fir to ring a bell. They attach blocks on a strap. Each member has a bag with straps and blocks on their person, and they have to fasten the strap and the blocks around the tree, kind of step up, fasten another strap with blocks on the tree, and then work their way up, rinse and repeat, work their way up, stepping on the blocks, fastening another strap, stepping on the blocks, probably like 70 or 80 times.
I was surprised it was as close as it was because of the need for communication, as you said, and the fact that Team Blue was a little bit Tribe Called Quest stressed out.
It was actually the best that they'd worked together, though. Like, they were, like, in the second half of the race, like, they were moving very well together as they were ascending the tree. But Team White, even though Shastley had dropped her bag, gets there first. Brandon rings the bell. They're off to the championship round, and Team Blue gets sent home from competition.
It was a hard-fought battle, guys.
The outcome's not as important as the journey.
That's something you can tell yourself. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. My quads and calves are burning.
So now, hey, salute to the producers, because this final challenge was, I don't know if they were sitting around drinking whiskey one night or what. It was like, what is the craziest thing we can come up with? Like, and then someone in the corner is like, let's go to 11. Because the Canada's ultimate logjam, it starts with climbing a cargo net tower, then constructing and crossing a bridge together, then crossing a hanging log bridge, then running across, I don't know, 200-foot logs, and then finally getting into a fair and pulling your whole team to shore. Like, each team member must have expended and must have burned 2,000, 3,000 calories.
At the end, I'm watching, it's like as if they were drunk. Like, they were so tired that they're just, like, bumbling and stumbling and, like, have no coordination anymore. And actually, at some point, it became so overwhelming that I would say one of the biggest turning points in the last competition is Lekka getting a little bit of the
yips.
The yips, yeah.
Well, yeah, that was a surprising moment, because I had been praising Lekka and her endurance and her resolve and her athletic gifts. And then that moment where she's on the tower, she can't jump into the water. She's like frozen, paralyzed with fear. I was like, oh, this is, the moment is too big. I was surprised, man.
Let it go, baby, you got time to make up. Don't think, push!
Being this high up, I feel nauseous, I feel nervous.
Come on, let it push, don't think, jump! Jump right now! Go! Let it get up! Count to 3, get up! 1, 2, 3, go!
And then finally, when Whitney, Shastley, and Brandon are on that almost raft and they're pulling themselves to shore, I'm just like, wow, this is the wild card team. Like, you as the producer, you said in episode 6, the producer and me would want to see the wild card team win this. Team White, the wild card team, is the champion of Canada's Ultimate Challenge season 2. I did not see this coming. I was loud wrong the entire series doing these recap pods. No, I wasn't close at all. I had Team Orange and then Team Red.
Yeah,
and Team
Red was close.
Well, right, sure.
Second, honestly, watching the finale for me was like watching Sporting. Like, I was on the edge of my seat, just like, how is this gonna play out? Never actually looking at like the time bar to see how much time is left.
Yeah, the only thing that was missing was kind of like the score, like the score bug or like the clock, because that's what we're just so used to seeing.
I'm ready for season 3.
Salute to Team Red. Courtney, Lekka, Sandrick, you guys are incredible competitors. And salute to the champions, the wild cards, Team White. Whitney, Shastley, Brandon, enjoy every moment of being the champions of Canada's Ultimate Challenge season 2.
I think the only question now is, what is the winner going to get for season 3.
Oh, yeah. World Cup, I guess?
You could be part of it if you so choose. If you dare, I should say. Canada's Ultimate Challenge, season 3, casting already. You can apply right now. cbc.ca/Canada's Ultimate Challenge is the way to do. This has been less than a challenge. So easy.
Yeah.
Watch reality TV and talk about it for a living. We're blessed. Thank you so much for coming along for the ride. This has been fun. Let us know what you thought in the comments.